All right, everybody, welcome. This is a, this is the side episode for what usually happens on the podcast here. This is going to be sort of a hobby, I guess, these sort of episodes. Every once in a while, I think I'm going to step back from doing the doom and gloom of being a starving artist and just do a hobby of mine, and talk about a hobby of mine, which me and a bunch of my friends are big into fantasy football. We've all played football for a really long time, and then when we're done, we decided to all start a league. So maybe weekly, maybe every 2 weeks, I'm going to bring one of my best good buddies onto this. His name's Dino, and he's sort of my fantasy... Dino's sort of my fantasy manager. He's the guy that I go to and talk all things fantasy and figure out what moves I should make, who I should trade, who I should drop. And I think everyone's got one of those because when I first started doing fantasy, I had no idea what I was doing. So Dino is my co-manager in my league anyway. I call him a lot for various pieces of advice on who to get and all that kind of good stuff. So this week, it's sort of volume 5.5. It's not going to be a volume. It's not going to be it's not going to fall under the same umbrella as the usual stuff. It's just going to be something cool or fun and interesting that I like to do, on my own. Plus Dino's a really interesting guy to talk to. Dino, I've known Dino forever, and he's always loved football. I think he does even hockey fantasy too sometimes, so he's big into the fantasy thing. And when I started doing fantasy, I had no clue what I was doing, so he helped me out. And so weekly or bi-weekly, whatever, whenever really we feel like it, we're going to talk about the week ahead, and give our thoughts on fantasy. I'm going to get Dino to give me some recommendations, especially this week. This week's a big week. I'm 4-5 right now. And it's going to be, you know, it's a dogfight in the middle. There's a bunch of us. There's about six of us in my league that are on that 4-5 mark. And then the top dogs are 6-3. It's a close league. My league this year is a close, close league. And we're coming in. I think there's four games left before playoffs. So we're not winding down, but we're coming to the end of it here. I've got some big trades on the block this week. And I think he's got some big stuff too. He's got some big players coming back. Dez Bryant just got signed, and I pulled a little sneaky and took him off waivers. I think it was last night. So he's mine now. I'm looking at a big trade. Looking at a huge trade maybe next week. We'll talk about that. This episode too may sound a little weird because Dino isn't here. He's actually at his place. He doesn't live where I live. He lives about an hour and a half away. And we're going to broadcast through Anchor, which is really cool. By the way, I'm going to do a whole solo Saturday about how to set up a podcast and things like that. But Anchor is a sweet app to do things remotely. If you have a friend, or if you actually can do up to eight friends, you can have up to eight friends on your podcast through Anchor. So we're going to do that tonight. So it may sound a little off. I'm going to try my best to clean it up as best I can. But this is going to be the first fan. I don't know what I'm going to call it, but first fantasy episode with my buddy Dino, and we'll see if we can give you guys some advice or just talk shit about fantasy. Who knows? Enjoy.
You good to go?
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. This is the Starving Artist Podcast fantasy football episode with Dino. Everybody, this is a special episode of the Starving Artist Podcast. We're not going to talk about anything related to what we usually talk about. Today we're on with Dino, who is my fantasy manager. I would describe you as Dino B.
Yeah, I would say so. I give my input from time to time, try and help out a little bit.
Dino gives his input because I know shit most of the time about fantasy.
You're getting better at it. Let's put it that way.
I'm a champ in my league. Did you know that? Year one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, year one. Inaugural champ. Okay, inaugural champion of year one of the Four Boke Invitational.
And now you're shitting the bed.
Not really. I'm 4-5 right now. Last year I was shitting the bed. Last year was a bed shit year. This year is there's a. Let me go to my standings here.
Which is expected, because usually, like, the top guy is going to get the bottom of the pickings for the next season if they do the draft that way. So, kind of like, expected.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, so this year, it's all relatively even. Let's see. See, in the intro, I said there's six of us at 4 and 5. There's that changed a lot, actually. There's three of us at 4 and 5 and three of us at 5 and 4. So, the bottom two are 3 and 6. The top two are 6 and 3. And then there's 3 at 5 and 4 and 3 at 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still pretty. Yeah. So last year, Marco was shitty. Actually, if you look at Marco's stats over the 3 years, he's got the fucking worst winning percentage out of all. He's been yearly the worst, but he does well in his other leagues, which is also pretty weird.
Well, clearly he doesn't really keep up with this league then, and just says, fuck it.
I think he keeps up with this one the most. I'm not sure though. I know he's in a few. He's in two or three.
Sure doesn't seem that way if he's in last place.
Well, right? You don't know. I don't
either
know
why. Or just he's got a bad draw order, and people are picking silly ones that you wouldn't expect, so it just threw off his entire game.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really know. He's got a decent team though. That's the thing. Marco's team is the Big Gronkowski.
I like the name.
The name's pretty good. Okay, so we'll start like this. We'll go. So explain your league, because you've been in your league for like what, a decade almost?
Pretty close. I was actually just looking that up just to see how long we actually have been in it. I haven't really thought of it before. Just a second here.
Like you've been in your league for. At least what?
At least 10. 5. We're going. This would be the 8th year. We started in 2010.
You started in 2010, so this is year 8. And how many people are in your league?
So our league has 12 people.
Oh, a 12 person league.
And we've got a pretty good, pretty big league. It makes for some interesting. It makes for some interesting playoffs, because really you only get the top 8 that'll make the playoffs after. So a couple losses and like you're already a couple losses to start the season. Like unless you come roaring back, there's a good chance you might not make it for the playoffs, which happened to a couple of our guys this year. They took a lot of losses for the first couple weeks and haven't been able to really turn it around.
What does the, dude, because in deep leagues, like, what does waiver wire look like?
Oh, it's just god awful. Like, I mean, there's basically nothing at any position right now, except for maybe quarterback is decent. Running back, especially because this year there were so many people that got hurt and put on IR. Like, there's just nobody decent. Most of the guys you're picking up are, like, maybe second string, who's generally doing a timeshare, so there's not really, definitely not going to find any start, really any decent starting quarterbacks off or running backs off of that. Receivers a little more open, still not so much though. Like they're all like maybe second or third string guys, or like they're really not in like consistently compared to some of the other guys that you would normally start. So there's pretty slim pickings. That's why in this league, it's really big that you kind of keep an eye on the waiver wire and see each week, like what, if there's anything big that comes up, anybody gets dropped, like, cause some people might drop them to pick up another guy. So you really have to pay attention week in and week out, I would say.
See, like I'm looking at like quarterbacks, there's an abundance, but like in my league right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best quarterback that's available. He's the best QB that's available. What? And then it goes Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, and Joe Flacco are the three or the top three Qs. Now, are they taken in your league?
Fitzpatrick is, Flacco isn't.
So Flacco still, is he the best in your league?
Yeah, he's at the top right now. It goes top five. Goes Flacco, Stafford, Keenum, Smith, Alex Smith, and Dak Prescott.
You have, wait, who'd you say before that? Say that again. You have Matt Stafford on waiver?
Yep.
See, like, he was taken. Is he, where is he? Yeah, like he's on a team. That's crazy.
Well, he's had a couple good games, but the rest of the year has really been just shit.
I think Detroit in general has been shitty. I had Golden Tate, and then they traded him to Philly, which could work out. I think that could work out. But
I mean, the big thing is, like, for one, because we have 12 guys, most people aren't really gonna hang on to QBs. So like, a lot of like what you might find in our waivers for QBs, like some other people might be hanging on to another league just because of buys. So
yeah, I've had some interesting trade propositions, and another guy. This is funny that I'm looking at the waiver wire. He was going to trade me Latavius Murray, and then I said no, and then he ends up dropping him. So now.
Okay, I'll just go and pick him up then.
So now Latavius Murray is the top running back, actually the top player outside of quarterbacks right now. He's the top one because I just dropped Tyler Lockett and pulled a quick one and picked up Dez Bryant. Like I think it was last night or no, when he had the workout. When did he announce he was having a workout with the?
He announced he was having a workout, I think, on Tuesday because that's what I remember seeing.
Okay, so because Lockett has been good. He's been the better one out of him and Doug Baldwin on Seattle. He's been the one that's been targeted. I mean, what's his name? Baldwin's been hurt, but.
Yeah, like that doesn't help much either.
But Lockett's been the number one, and now Baldwin's back, and they're both kind of doing shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to drop Lockett and pick up Dez really quick. But now I see Latavius Murray, and I go, that's a decent swing back, I guess. Is that not a bad flex? Is he shitty at flex?
What's his point? See, our league is slightly different. So sometimes, like, what might like seem okay in ours would be like maybe shitty in yours because we have the extra points bonuses.
Yeah, explain the point system in your league because yours is way different.
So, well, I wouldn't say it's way different, but so I'll just kind of to give you an idea, I'll bring it up here. So our point system, you basically get bonus points when guys do like crazy good in yards. So let's see. We'll start off with QB here, of course. Touchdown gets you 5. Anything over 20, over 25 yards passing, you get a point. Interception is a -2. Sack is -1. And if you pass for over 300 yards, you get an extra 5 points.
Yeah, see, that's the big one because we don't have that. We don't have the milestone point system. So you said that in yours, if a receiver gets 100 yards, you get an extra 5 points?
Yeah.
See, that's why you have such crazy big scores.
Yeah, like we've had some guys, I think I was just looking, like some of the biggest scores we had in this league was like 200 and some points. Just
holy
looking at our
shit.
Just looking
who got
at
200?
Like,
who got 200 points?
Let's see here.
I think the most I ever saw in our league was, I think, 160.
Yeah,
and that's we play PPR.
Yeah, so ours is PPR as well. So back in 2015, Bringy like came out of nowhere and got 217 points.
In a game?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, like, I think I can't quite see who he had that year, but like, it was just ridiculous that week.
He pulled off 200. Did he? And that's because why did everyone hit like a milestone? Is that why they just jacked up?
Yeah, it was just like a. Just in general, like he had probably about 2 or 3 guys that went over 100 yards receiving. And then like some, I mean, especially because you might get like a insane running back, like say Saquon or like Melvin Gordon or something like that. He'll go over like 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving, and then like 2 touchdowns or like something just ungodly. So there's like some of them have put in like 40, 50 points.
See, like 40, I've never seen that in our league. And I think it's, well, we play PPR, so points per reception.
You probably won't see it because the fact that we have our extra bonuses. So, like,
yeah.
unless, unless you add in the bonuses, which I would recommend next year because it just makes it that much more interesting. And it could just, it can completely change like a game at some point. Like, I mean, I would add it in.
And that's,
bring it up.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you guys have always had insane scores. Like, I'm just looking at our point system. That's pretty, we just introduced PPR this year. We played year one. It was our first year one. So we just did basic across the board. And then year two, I think last year we did PPR.
I thought yours was standard scoring last year.
Maybe last year too, it was standard scoring. And then
this year you were just starting the,
this year we introduced PPR and are playing for money. Finally, we actually have, actually Max came up. Max is our convener. Max, the cuckmish, we call him the commissioner. Max is the cuckmish. He introduced, which is really cool. I don't know if you guys do this, but weekly challenges. So weekly challenges, it would be like if, you know, like player closest to 40 points, right? You'll get $10, and then he keeps track of it. And at the end of the year, all the money gets doled out. So
we kind of do that.
What do you mean?
Well, we don't have weekly challenges. Instead, whoever gets the most points scored that week total gets an extra $25.
So you guys just total score at the end of the week gets an extra 25.
Yeah, like whatever. Like say, like for instance, this past week, let's see, week 9, the highest scoring player got 152 points.
The highest scoring player?
So. The team. Highest scoring team, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Highest scoring team got 152 points. And then I was third highest this week, and there's another guy who was second. So whoever gets the highest points scored will get an extra $25 toward at the end.
No, that's not bad.
Which usually what works out, like what we'll do instead is, instead of you having to pay like the actual, like the full fee the next year, like our convener just takes the, he deducts whatever you made. Like say you got the highest score 2 weeks. So he deducts $50 off.
Oh, okay.
That's, so then like, you don't fair. Have to pay him as much. Yeah. That's well, fair. It's just, it's easier to do rather than him like dish out the money. And then all of a sudden, like you end up paying it back anyways. Like it just doesn't make sense. Right. Like you
yeah.
might as well just wait till the end anyways and then cover it there.
I think this year, second place gets money back. I think everyone gets money back. First, second, and third gets, I think first place gets whatever it is. Second place gets their money back. And then I think third place gets the buy-in covered for next year. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure on that. I have to ask. We have so many, a lot of shit floating around in our league that.
Well, and eventually, like, because you guys are just starting it out now, like, eventually, if you start increasing the amount every year, like, you're going to get more and more going to the second and third. Like, ours, when we started out, like, I think maybe third place got their money back.
Yeah, we're a young league. Young league, but a lot of, man, controversies. A lot of controversies in the Four Boke Invitational. Well, I'm going to butcher it because I know the details, but I don't know the intricacies of the details. But I think what happened was, so last year, okay, if I'm not mistaken, was it Rogers who broke his collarbone?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was last year and Rogers broke his collarbone. So what ended up happening was one of the guys in our league had, I'm going to refer to everybody by their team name. So, I believe it was Krispy Kreme had Aaron Rodgers, and he broke his collarbone and went down. Now we have a guy named in the league is named Gary Chalmers, but he is a we'll just say at the time of the injury, he was planting trees up in northern Alberta, so he didn't have access. He didn't have access to, or Northern BC, he didn't have access to internet or anything.
So he didn't pull Rogers out.
Well, no, he didn't know what had happened, right? He didn't know that Rogers had gone down with a collarbone injury and was potentially out for the year. So what Krispy Kreme did was Krispy Kreme went, hey, Gary Chalmers, do you want to trade for Aaron Rodgers? And because old Gary didn't have any idea what was going on, I think that was the first correspondence he had from the league since he had gotten back from wherever he was planting trees. So he's like, oh shit, yeah, I would love me some Aaron Rodgers. So there was some, I don't know what the trade was. It was some bullshit trade. And then he accepted the trade. And then everyone said, whoa, what happened here? Like, you realize that Aaron Rodgers could be out for the season, right? And then Gary Chalmers was pissed because he's like, I didn't know this. You know, guys, I was up in, you know, Northern BC. And it went through some serious, serious vetoing from the group. And that's where our commissioner took some heat. Commissioner took some heat last year, man. That was big. There was a reevaluating of who should be commissioner this year because of, it was a serious offense.
So what ended up happening in the end?
Well, what ended up happening was I think the trade got vetoed. So that means Rodgers went, see, this is the part I can't remember. I think Rodgers went on waivers, right? I think he dropped him instead of trading him, right? Because he couldn't trade, so he's like, okay, whatever, I'll just drop him. Rodgers was supposed to be out for the year. Rodgers ended up coming back.
Yeah.
And then that's when, where is he? Scum Gang FC, who's also our cuckmish, he picked up Rodgers from the wire. And there was a big kerfuffle because then Krispy Kreme said, well, wait a minute. If I had to drop him, you're not allowed to play him. Like, you can't play him in a championship game that I had to drop him because Gary Chalmers was up in Northern BC,
yeah,
you know, planting trees, and he didn't know. So I think Scum Gang FC had to not play Rodgers, and then Krispy Kreme ended up winning last year. So that was big. And then this year we decided, all right, you're responsible for your own teams. You can't have, like, we bailed them out and ended up working out better for old Krispy Kreme. But we bailed out Gary Chalmers because we said, you know, that's sort of an unfair trade. He didn't know. But at the same time, I guess you have to do your research.
True.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well,
what are your thoughts on something like that?
I think that does kind of come down to, well, first of all, that was a dick move trying to pull that on your buddy.
Sure, like, but it was Dino, this is competition now. Okay, this is
I know rights. It's competition. This is some,
you know,
I know, but like, even still, like, that's a shady move there.
Absolutely, it's a shady
move. It's gutsy but shady at the same time. But
this is a dogfight. This is not, you know, this is for bragging.
But last year you weren't even really paying for money. Like, it's one thing if you're playing for fun and still not playing for money. But if you're playing for money, like, if that, like, I mean, in our league, because our pot's pretty, it's getting pretty big now. Like, that would not go over very well at all.
Well, growing pains of a new league, D. We're newly established, right? We're learning every day.
Yeah.
We're learning every day, but
I do still think it is, that does come up to the guy who received the trade option to begin with. Like, you got to look, man. Like, I mean, obviously, if, and even on the thing, when it shows like a trade, like, it might say, like, when you put through a trade for anybody, like, even right now, I'm looking at a trade for in our league. When you view the trade itself and go right to it, it's going to show if there's something wrong with the person. So, like, you should have, like, that should have been a red flag right there.
But I think he did it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he did it literally, like, the minute he went down. Like, the day Rodgers broke his collarbone, I think that's when he initiated the trade. And I don't think there was an injury designation when he traded him, because technically the game was still going on.
Right, but you could still wait. Like, that's the, and that, sure, still comes back to the other guy. Like, the okay, so the guy who offered the trade, yeah, he offered the trade for it, but Buddy didn't have to immediately accept the trade.
No, you're right. You're right. That's why I think there's some details in here that I forget that I'm not explaining very well. But that's basically the gist. So, I mean, you know, Gary Chalmers has to has to figure that out. But at the same time, do you knowingly, but Krispy Kreme also knew Gary Chalmers was up in Northern BC, no internet connection. You know, he
that's
knew.
That's what I'm saying. It's even more shade. That's even more shade. Like, that's a dick move.
That's a dick move. What would have happened in a league where as much money as you guys have on the line? What would have, what were the, because I think the commissioner did a decent job. It was a brand new, like I said, new league, growing pains. It was a brand new problem, right? It was something that happened that, you know, new league, new commissioner, trying to figure it out.
Well, what would have been
the proper steps in your league?
What I don't understand is if, like, it's vetoed and it doesn't go through, then, like, the trade should just be nullified and nothing should have happened. Guy should have kept his guy and the other guy should have kept his guy.
Well, that's what ended up happening.
The trade
was nullified, but because Rodgers was supposed to be out for the whole year, Krispy Kreme dropped him and said, well, fuck it. He's gone anyway. Who gives a shit?
Well, that was just an idiot. That was a stupid move. You don't give up Aaron Rodgers. Like, especially you got to, like, you give it a couple times and pay attention to the news.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though. The trade never ended up going through, and then he ended up dropping him because he thought, well, he's out anyway all year. Who gives a shit now? And his argument, which is a valid argument, but I think the way it went about it was sort of shitty, was his thing was, well, he's out. I'm just going to drop him. But then when Scum Gang picked him up and he was able to play, Krispy Kreme's argument was, well, that's unfair because he should have been on a guy's team that didn't make the playoffs anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. But then, like, still, like, that's a stupid move on the other guy's part. He should have just waited. Like, I mean, especially with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he's come back from injury before. I mean, he could have easily came back and played. So that's your fault for dropping him and leaving him to dry to begin with. So then the other guy should have been able to pick him up.
Which he did. But there was also some gamesmanship, and Scum Gang FC said, you know what, because the situation was a little crazy, got heated, we're going to just shelf Rodgers. We're just not going to play him. You see what I'm saying? You see what happened?
Yeah.
So, but controversy, man.
I mean, I think because the fact that our league's been going on for, like, I mean, our league's been going for a while. So I think we probably look like you're an idiot. You should have just, you should have kept on to him. Like, that, you should be doing your homework and paying attention. Like, that's your own fault.
Sure. And Gary Chalmers did get, you know, an earful from the committee, from the owners of various teams of Forboke Invitational that, you know, you should pay attention for sure. And I think in the spirit of the game, I understand what Krispy Kreme was doing, but maybe overstepped. You think, what do you think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Interesting thoughts from Dino B.
I don't know. Like, I think just to compare with Arlie, I think because of the pots that you could win, I think it could be very cutthroat. Be like, well, no, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have made that trade to begin with. You should have been paying attention, because also too, in our league, you can keep guys. So
yeah, you guys have a keeper league too. What's a keeper league? Explain what a keeper league is.
Keeper league, it's pretty simple. Basically, you get to choose two guys to keep to carry on to the next season. So there's a deadline to set your keepers. Usually our commish does it about a couple weeks before the draft, so everyone knows, or a week before, so everyone knows who's each other's keeper. And then that's basically your first and second round pick for the new year draft.
Does it the following year's draft, do those two guys automatically get added to your team, or do you have to actually manually pick them?
Like, if you set your keepers?
If you set your keepers, do they automatically stay on your team? Or do you have to actually, like, is it like...
No, you don't have to re-go through. That's just automatically your picks. That's set by the system. That's your first,
oh, okay.
the first round and the second round are covered by your keepers, and then it just goes immediately into the third and with and so forth.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then like that, it's like the next year you get to repick your keepers again, and you can keep on doing that.
And you guys get two. Can you pick more or less? Is there a way to do that, or is it only two?
I would think that you could pick more than one. I would think based on our settings are two, so I would think that you could probably do more than two. I don't know.
Mm.
Seems like a bit much, so I think two is a good happy medium.
Yeah.
But I would think that you could probably make it more, but I'm not too sure on that one. I'd have to ask the commish.
The commissioner of your league, who's first place in your league? Who's what's the record of the first place?
Record of first place right now, I believe, is 8-1. Let me just confirm that.
8-1.
Yeah, buddy's been on a tear.
See, that's Scum Gang was 6-1 before anybody. Then there was a big trade. Somebody traded Krispy Kreme. I forget who it was. Let's take a look because I can probably look it up from. I think it was was it Carlos Hyde ended up picking up? Somebody did a trade. It might have been Tyreek Hill. I think he traded for Tyreek Hill, and then he was middle of the pack, and then boom, he just shot up. And now he's tied for first, but I think he's got the tiebreaker over Scum Gang for number one. He's on the rise, man. He's on a 6-game win streak right now.
Well, somebody's got to shut him up then.
Well, I don't know. His team's pretty good if you look at it.
I had a chance to beat the guy who's in first right now. I played him a couple weeks ago. I almost pulled it off. He came back. He got super lucky. But it was a close game because I'm just looking at.
Where are you right now?
I'm right in the middle. I moved up to sixth place after I won last week.
And what's the record? What's your record for sixth?
I'm 5-4 right now.
See, like you need a winning record to be in sixth right now. That's crazy. Ours is like our sixth place is 4-5. They lost three in a row. Murph load lost three in a row.
Murph load.
Yeah, it goes Krispy Kreme, Scum Gang FC, Gary Chalmers, Unnecessary Dougness. Knee for the Trump, Murph Load, Green Eggs and Beckham. Me, Mr. Rogers Neighborhood at 4-5, Keeper of Film at 3-6, and Big Gronkowski at 3-6. Like I said, competitive. A lot of trades too. Do you guys do a lot of trading?
Oh yeah. There's especially not quite from the start, but once you get to like say closer to the trade deadline, like around now, like there's just trades flying left, right, and center.
See, I think with trading, especially with fantasy, I think it's just a flip of the coin. I think it's just a 50-50. Like, what's the difference? It's not like you're running different systems that these guys can, you know what I mean? It's just like a basic flip of the coin. And I never understood
point of trading. It depends on how you look at it. Like, especially because sometimes a trade can go, like, it can really go two ways. Like, it could be a complete debauchery because, like, say you trade for a guy, then all of a sudden he gets hurt, then it's like, oh, shit, then your season's basically screwed, especially if it's a really, like, a key player. But sometimes, too, like, it could work in your favor. Like, say one guy stacked, like, it all depends on how somebody drafted, too, right? Say somebody drafted a whole bunch of receivers and a lot of top ones, but maybe not so many good running backs for starters. So he's got a boatload of receivers that he could maybe trade away who's worth about the same as a running back, and he can get a good running back in return to bolster his team and make him a lot more even. So that way he can, I mean, it's just better his chances of making the playoffs because, right?
Well, yeah, but I think, well, maybe in our league, like no one in the last 3 years has really drafted with the intention of trading heavily. You know what I'm saying? Everyone sort of everyone drafts to have.
Well, I don't think. Well, yeah, of course, but like, I mean, then you kind of look in the way that the season's going and see, okay, like maybe this wasn't, I was wrong. We need to change things up. Or some people just like to do it to stir up the league or stir up a change. Like, especially if like you go say 1-4 and you're pretty close to like almost losing out completely on playoffs, like you got to change something up clearly. So that might involve trading one of your big name guys that you thought was going to kill it for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that with, that was bad. I did that with Josh Gordon this year.
And like trading too, all is just, it's more of a, it's also a good strategy thing to it. Right. And some people like, you might think one thing and another person thinks another. So sometimes you can play, you can might be able to play on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm regretting that because now I need receiver help, but I traded away Josh Gordon because I was in need of a good swing. I was in need of a good swing. And the guy who traded me actually,
I don't even want to talk to you about receivers right now. You still won't do what I told you. You should have done.
What should I have done?
I told you to pick up Green. Like you,
what, do you not the, want... in my Jordan Howard trade?
Yes.
That's still on the table. That's still on the table. The problem is,
yeah, but
though,
you keep on like going away from it and yeah, then but the, like going to worse trades.
No. The problem with that trade for this week, I told him already, I said next Tuesday, because he's also making me my workout plan. So I said Tuesday, we'll get some games and then we'll trade. Okay. We'll do all of it in one day. But with that trade, okay, Jordan Howard for AJ Green. Now, this, Chris Carson on Seattle?
Yeah.
Okay. He's been doing dope for me this year. I put him at swing and he's been getting like, I think the last three games are like 11, 12 points. So decent for a swing. He's been killing it. And Howard's been a turd. The last couple games, actually not too bad, but for the most part, comparison to last year, he's been kind of a turd. So, but this week, Carson he's got a designation. He didn't practice all week. So, Murfload is like, yo, trade me, we'll do the Jordan Howard for AJ Green trade and it'll be fine. But if I trade Howard away, I don't have anyone at swing.
Yeah, but you just got AJ Green.
But I'm saying though, I'm 4-5 right now. Like I need to push. I need to step my shit up. If I lose again this week, because his team this week is kind of shitty and I play him too.
So then maybe you can afford to
like, let's go to my, like here, I'll show you my game center. So like right now,
it's week 10. Like when's your playoff start? Like you still got you still got 3 weeks.
3 weeks, but AJ Green is at least gone for another. So not including this week, he's at least gone for another one. So I'm looking at it like, if I give him Jordan Howard and he gives me AJ Green, AJ Green is on the bench right now and that's it. There's no,
but you also have some other people on your team too. You could throw in there.
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. The only one that I have is Chris Carson, who didn't practice all week, and fucking Doug Baldwin, who is sort of a toss up. I could have maybe put in Randall Cobb, but he's been that's a fucking flip of the coin with him too all week. So you just don't know. If I give him Jordan Howard, now he sits, is it Michelle? Mitchell?
Yeah.
He sits Sonny Mitchell, puts Jordan Howard in, and now I'm rolling with a half-assed flex, and he's got someone who's got potential to bust open at running back.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
But you're putting a lot on the fact that Jordan, who's been doing fucking terrible all year, all of a sudden just going to have like this massive game. Like it's, the odds aren't really in his favor for him to have a good game.
But I'm saying though, if he puts in at least 10 or 12 points, right, that's automatic. He's getting automatic return where I'm pushing it down the road. And maybe by time AJ Green gets back, because remember, he's got to come back. He's got, you know how it is with receivers, right? His toe's going to hurt. It's whatever. You don't know what's going to happen. If
can
I
you
give
send
him,
me a screenshot of your team? Because I like it. It's easier to look at.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you who's on my bench right now. I have Dez Bryant, who is, that's my strategy, though. I'm going to, next week, because he's making a push, too. So he's going to get Jordan Howard. I'm going to get AJ Green, and I'm going to get Dez Bryant. Okay, that's sort of the, I'm gonna get Dez and that's sort of the play I'm trying to get at, because yeah. Jordan Howard is gonna be immediate return for him, 100%, and because Sonny Mitchell's out anyway, and he's been a turd too, and he's behind James White, who I also have. So if I give him Howard, he's gonna give me AJ Green. I have to wait a little bit for him to get going, and then I can maybe make a push, but I can't afford to lose again this week, because then I'm stuck. See what I'm saying? There's a bit of strategy here. It's not a lot of strategy, but it's enough. I'm just trying to be, and it's also bad because I'm playing him too. So it's a great trade. If I wasn't playing him, I would have done it already. It's a solid trade. Then I was stupid and was like, I'll give you, you know, what about Howard for Le'Veon? And I'm sitting there going, well, he could sign, he could not, but then you keep reading into it and you're like, no, this guy's not coming back.
No, like it's way too much if. Like there's, like I was saying, there's more upside with Green than there is with Le'Veon.
Yeah. And he was gonna give me two along with Le'Veon, he was gonna give me Doug Martin. And I'm staying away.
Nothing special.
Like I'm staying away from anybody from Oakland. Fuck Oakland this year.
There's like nobody on Oakland you can trust except I think maybe their tight end if you're weak at tight end, and that's about it, because Jared Cook's actually been doing all right.
As tight
other
end?
Than that, yeah, like he's in our league, he's fifth right now.
Oh, fifth in the whole league.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
So, I mean, he might be the only bright spot. The rest, like, is just garbage.
Yeah, watch what's his name trade him away too. Just cleaning the house.
I mean, I still think there's probably some that you can find on waivers that you can throw in for this week as there's like a swing, and then still get.
I dropped Lockett for Dez Bryant, but I could have probably picked. Well, Lockett's not. I mean, Latavius Murray's on our waiver right now. Where is it? Let's see. Where's our players? Here we go. And he was going to, and Green Eggs and Beckham was going to give me him and.
Latavius won't work anyways because he's on bye this week.
That's what I mean. So I'm getting like these trades were great, but it's like, well, dude, I can't afford to have a guy on bye and wait. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I need some production right meow, or else it's.
Yeah, Jamie tried to get me with a trade, something similar like that, where I would have basically been like taking a hit and then trying to deal with bye weeks, and it just would have probably fucked over my season.
That's what I'm saying. The bye weeks right now are killing me because they're great trades. I told Green Eggs and Beckham, I said, that's a great trade, but I can't do it this week. It's just not, it's not feasible, man. Yeah, see Latavius Murray, and then Lockett's still there. No one's going to pick up Lockett, though, so if I wanted to, I could snatch him up again.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, what else do you got for receivers?
Garbage. Actually, okay, not really. Golden Tate and Deshaun Jackson. Golden Tate, I think, is going to be dope. I think since he got traded, I think that's going to be a sweet trade. Because who does Philly have right now? That's a number one.
Well, Philly's got some good number ones, though, so that's why I'm a little iffy on that one.
Well, who, though?
Alshon Jeffrey's there.
Okay.
Nelson Aguilar will take some hits.
Is Golden Tate, what, like a feasible two?
Could be. Like, it'd be interesting to see. Like, they all seem to think, all the analysts seem to think that, like, Golden Tate's really going to do well. And it's going to help actually some of the other guys because they can do more what they're supposed to be doing instead of playing in a role that they're really not comfortable in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Deshaun Jackson was sort of a dud, but that's to be expected. He's a big play guy, right?
Well, the problem is, for one, there's already Mike Evans there, so a lot of it's probably going to go to Mike Evans.
Yeah. Plus, quarterback situation.
The quarterback's been a little fucky.
It's a train wreck.
yeah.
Holy.
And then, I mean, one thing too, like their offense in general just hasn't really been that great. But, I mean, you kind of, because of the fact that they're playing from behind, sometimes it's worth a shot, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I'll be like, this week I have to play Deshaun this week because I've got a whole bunch of people on bye. I've got two of my usual starters for receivers on bye because we don't have a swing. Ours is three receivers.
Oh, you guys can set up a league like that where three of the same. Can you do? You can't do three running backs, can you?
You can probably do as much as you want. Like, there are some leagues that have two quarterbacks and two running backs. Like,
yeah, I've seen that. The two quarterback thing could be.
That could make things interesting.
That and they both play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is interesting. I would like to see maybe like a three. No, the swing is cool because the swing is either or.
Yeah, right? It gives you some choice.
But I usually play. I think most people would probably play running back in that situation.
It depends. Like, it depends on who you got for running back. Like, if you have two, like, you really only have two good running backs, that fills up your other running back spots.
Yeah, I would think anyway that most people would play running back in that. I do anyway. That's just me though. But I play a running back that's going to get either touches or is an actual swing in the system. Like James White, what one game he didn't have one rushing yard. It was like 78 receiving yards and two touchdowns or something like that.
Well, that's just him though.
No, I know, but I'm saying though, like, but he was, I think that game he was my running back. I'm not sure, but he's functional in both positions.
He's pretty well a receiver. Like, he doesn't really, and like in their offense, he's pretty well a receiver, another receiver. Gets the odd carry and goal line stuff because he's shifty. But
yeah, he's good. He was that was another waiver pickup that was early. It was early in the year and no one really gave a shit. Early in the year, this James White guy, you know, he was whatever. And then now he's like, now there was a couple weeks there where everyone wanted to trade.
Well, that's because for one, Rex Burkhead went out, so they're only down to two running backs. And then Sonny Michel has been out too, so he's basically their only guy. And generally around now, like, that's typically when Tom likes to go to him, like, later on in the season, because he's just been basically clutch in the end and like towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That's a good pickup. That's a good pickup. All right, to end it off, because we've been at it for 47 minutes. Give me your team. Who are you starting? Who are you sitting?
So this week,
give me some big moves that you had to make this week.
Well, nothing really big. It's just more flipping and flopping, guys, because of buys. Last week was actually huge. I had a pretty big move, I would have to say, that I would think won me the game, for sure, easily won me the game.
And what was that?
Well, last week, Sonny Michel was on the fence about playing, and like he had a late night game on Sunday, so you're really taking a chance, because there's very few people, especially with who they have for a backup, that would actually fill his role. And I had another good running back in my back pocket, Tevin Coleman, that basically I've been flipping between him and Sonny Michel all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know, let's play it safe here and put Tevin Coleman in, because he's definitely going to get a decent amount of points. He's usually good for about 10 points being a starter. And the fact that, I mean, he's safer. He's definitely going to be playing, so it's safer with him instead of Sonny Michel. So of course, and at the time, Sonny Michel, they weren't sure, like around 1 o'clock on Sunday, like they still weren't really sure about if he was going to play or not. And then, so I'm like, okay, well, let's play it safe. We'll throw in Coleman instead and leave him in there, cause then that should work out. Okay. Turned out a couple hours later, Sonny Michel got the inactive tag.
So
he was done. And then Tevin Coleman went off for 30 points.
Ah, there you go.
So it was quite the close call there on that one. It definitely won me the, because I ended up only winning. I only won by, I think, five, not even, let's see. I won by 3 points.
Oh, last week. Jeez.
So, like, I mean, that was just like a bit of complete blowout. If
I remember that week too. I think, is it Krispy Kreme might have had Tevin Coleman? Someone had Tevin Coleman, and that was the story of the week, was just going off for like 30.
Oh yeah, he got 32 points in our league. Like, it was unreal.
So your league was 30. Our league, it might have been like maybe 25, 28, maybe.
Well, let's see his stats. Where's the simple box score?
Hold on, I'll look it right here. Tevin Coleman. Tev.
He probably would have been around the same. Because he didn't go anything over 100, so...
Oh, that big week hit 30 points. 30 points the big week. So what, nearly hit 32? It was against Washington, right?
Yeah, he had 32. Yeah,
he had 88 rushing yards, 68 receiving, and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, big week. That was huge. He's on Keeper of Film. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be the same story this week, though, because, like, I mean, Sonny Michel, they're still not too sure on him yet. So it's – and he's going up against Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
So I feel like I should just stick with Coleman this week.
Busted-ass Cleveland. Yeah.
That sorry-ass story. So I've got Rodgers starting at QB. Good chance I'm going to have Coleman and Melvin Gordon as my running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And then at receiver, I've got DeSean Jackson, Larry Fitz, and Brandon Cooks. Typically, I wouldn't be playing D-Jax and Fitz, but because I've got my other two guys on bye, unfortunately, that's all I'm stuck with this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got Trey Byrne as my tight end, Robbie Gould as my kicker, and I'm going to go with the Pats D against Tennessee, since my Texans D is on bye this week.
That's good. That sounds like a decent lineup. I've got, this week I got Aaron Rodgers over Goff. I mean, but every week, though, I'm telling you, Goff deserves maybe 1 week because he's killing it right now.
Yep.
He's been putting up numbers, and Rodgers has been shitty. But, but Rodgers is more consistent. But I've got Rodgers at Q. I got Zeke back. Zeke was on bye last week, so Ezekiel Elliott's back. He's at Philly. I have Jordan Howard at Detroit. You know, he may not be here next week, D. We'll see. I don't know.
Yep.
We got DeSean Jackson, who I don't like ever putting on. I hate starting him, but that's all I've got. All I've got right now. So I got DeSean Jackson. Yeah.
That's me too.
That's it, man. I have Golden Tate with his first game with Philly. Coming off a bye, I got Austin Hooper, tight end for Atlanta. I got old James White. James White is the moneymaker for me this year, for sure.
Oh, they're playing Tennessee, so he's definitely, like, he should light it up.
And he's playing Tennessee. Although, it says here, Titans give up the fifth fewest fantasy points to running back. We'll see.
Yeah, but he's technically not really like a running back either, though, right? He's more receiver running back.
Yeah, he's like a swing. And then, I mean, my bench is – I mean, I've got Mason Crosby kicking, and Houston – my Houston D is on bye too, so I've got Atlanta playing Cleveland.
That should be good because anything against Cleveland is generally going to be good.
Yeah.
There is another one too, if you could – it looks like – and I kind of feel this too. If the Jets D is available, that might not be a bad play just because they're playing against the Bills.
Yeah. Well, anything against the Bills.
Exactly. So
anything. Okay. All right, Dino. Good luck to you. Do you have anyone playing tonight?
No.
All right. So your day starts.
I think it's Pitt and who's Pitt playing tonight?
Is it Pittsburgh and Carolina tonight?
Yeah, that's it.
Pittsburgh and Carolina tonight. All right. No one playing. I had Vance McDonald, but I dropped his ass.
Vance isn't terrible. Like, I mean,
But what are you going to do? You're going to do Vance, or you're going to do Austin against a dismal fucking Cleveland D?
That's true.
There you
go.
True. Okay, Dino Bergman, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, good luck this week.
You as well.
This is the fantasy football episode with Dino B. See you guys next time.
We're out.